concerned about other people. We should be concerned about what destination is, where their destination is, and where they're going to end up in life. And what missions is our opportunity. Everybody say amen. We have an opportunity to save people's lives, and it's done through missions. I mean, think for a moment. Have you ever felt like your life was insignificant? Have you ever felt like your little life in little old Ottumwa, Iowa is just a little speck on the map? I want you to know, in God's plan, your little life in little old Ottumwa, Iowa is very important and can have huge impact, because God has called you and given you an opportunity to lock arms with Him and be part of mission. Somebody say praise God. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to give. Giving is not a burden. How many of you know giving is a blessing? We always hear mixed emotions when it comes to missions conventions and when it comes to giving, because a lot of people don't like to be pressed to give. But listen, I'm not pressing you to give. I'm encouraging you that God has called you and anointed you to give. Glory to God. You have an opportunity to give, not an obligation to give, right? It is an opportunity to make a difference. So I want to share this morning, as we talk today in the beginning of our missions convention, if you open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 51, that's where we're going to start at. Going to look at these verses here. The Bible says, "Awake, awake, arm of the Lord. Clothe yourselves with strength. Awake as in days gone by, as in generations of old." How many of you have ever prayed that prayer right there? Awake, O arm of God. Arm of the Lord, wake up. Have you ever wondered, have you ever thought within yourself, where is the power that we've heard about? Where is this awesome move of God, this awesome arm of the Lord that you hear people talk about, that you hear books written about, or that you read books that have been written about? And yet, we know that God is powerful. If you believe that, say amen. Now, God's people at this particular time were experiencing some great tribulation as a nation. They were experiencing some very, very trying times. They were going, many of them at this particular time were in exile. They were in captivity to a nation called Babylon, and they were enslaved. They were being held against their will. Many of them were oppressed. There were some who had become depressed. They had lost all hope altogether. Historically, this is accurate. This is what's going on when they cry out these words to God: "Awake, awake, arm of the Lord, clothe yourselves in strength." It is almost as though God's people are calling out to God because they think God is asleep. They think God has overlooked what's going on in the world. They think that God is disconnected, or that God has lost his focus, and they're praying in an attempt to awaken God. And so these were the things that were going on. As a result of them being oppressed, as a result of them being in captivity, many of their families were in ruins. They were being tormented. They were going through difficulty. They were afflicted. Think for a moment what it must have been like for a group of people who literally had become slaves. What do you think that it would be like being enslaved by a nation that cared not about you, that had no compassion towards you, that only cared about themselves, and a dictator, really, a tyrant who was ruling unjustly? How many of you think that the people were suffering? And in their suffering, they began to cry out to God, and they were saying, "Awake, awake, arm of the Lord." Now, they began to cry out, "Awake, arm of the Lord." They began to say things, and that phrase, "arm of the Lord," is important, because really what they were saying, you know, when we talk about the arm of the Lord, how many of you know we're talking about Jesus? Amen. He's the arm of the Lord. "Awake, O arm of the Lord." They were really saying, "God, where is your power?" In fact, if you read on in Isaiah 51, those verses that we just read, you hear the prophet, he's speaking, and what he's really doing is he is voicing the discontent and the concern of the nation as a whole, and he begins to say things like, "Hey, where's your power, God? The power that you displayed years ago, generations ago, when you parted the sea, And your people walked through on dry ground. And now all of a sudden your people are being oppressed. Now all of a sudden we are losing ground. We are suffering. We are being afflicted. Where is your power today like your power was back then? Where is your strength, God? Have you lost power? Have you been overtaken? Why won't you do today what you did back then? How many of you felt like that? Have you ever wondered? Have you ever had those moments where in almost frustration? Now, I think it's okay to be frustrated at times. I think that God works through our frustration. There have been times in my life when I have been highly frustrated, and that frustration pushed me into a place of prayer. And that's the thing about God in our discouragement or God in our frustration. All things work together for good to those that love God. And God can take something as carnal at times as our frustration and use that frustration to bring us to Him. How many of you know God is awesome? And so is there times when God will allow us to remain frustrated? Yes. But do you know why God allows us to be frustrated? Because He's merciful, and in His mercy, in His love for us, He's desiring that that frustration will bring us to a place where we will cry out to Him. Because when we cry out to Him, guess what happens? He answers. And when He answers, guess what happens? We get truth. And when we get truth, guess what happens? We get freedom. Glory to God. So they were crying out, "Where is your strength, God? Why won't you do today what you did back then? Where are the miracles that Grandma talked about? Where are all the miracles that have been spoken of in the days of old where you came through?" Remember, this was not the first time that God's people had been oppressed. This was not the first time that God's people were under the control of a dictatorship. It was not the first time that God's people had seen these things. Remember, it was when they were in captivity to Egypt that God called a man by the name of Moses to go forth, anointed of God in the power of God, to deliver God's people from the control of Pharaoh. And these people that were suffering at this particular time, they were reminded of that. And they started to say, "God, why won't you do for us what you did for Moses? Why won't you do for us what you did when Israel was in Egypt?" This was really what they were saying. They were crying out to God, "God, is your arm short today? God, are you just weaker now than you was then? God, don't you love us like you loved them?" You know, it's real easy for us to get like this. I have gotten like this before. You know, with everything that's going on in our world today, how many of you have ever said, "God, what in the world are you thinking? Don't you hear what they're saying about you? Don't you see what they're doing to Christians? Don't you see what men is doing? Don't you hear the way they mock people who love you? Where is your power, God? Don't you notice that every week people come to church dead, depressed, hopeless? Where's your power, God? We've read about what you've done. We've heard about what you've done. But God, why aren't we seeing what you've done? Where's your presence? Where's your power? Where is the former passion?" This is one of the things that I've often spent time whining to God about. "God, your church is so passionless. God, there is such a," and there is, by the way, "a loss of passion in the body of Christ. There is a loss of excitement and zeal in serving God." And I want you to know something. Serving God is the most exciting thing you could ever do. It's the best decision you could ever make. And church, when we gather together, and you know, you get, it's like going to the dentist some Sundays. I feel like I'm a dentist pulling teeth, not a preacher preaching the word. I feel like, man, some of you guys have been, the mask has been put on, and you got that, what is that gas? You know, your borderline, You've been stupefied. You know, they put the mask on and they say, count back from 10 and 10, 9. You're feeling all screwy. And then, listen, that's not what church is. Church is about coming together. It's about celebrating Jesus. It's about worshiping God. It's about praising Him. And when we get together on Sunday, how many of you know this should be the most exciting? And you know what really makes me agitated? I'm going to go ahead and tell you. You don't have to say, tell me, preacher. I'm going to tell you anyway. You know what really gets me agitated? Right now, some of you sitting here right now, this quiet, will leave here today. You'll have lunch. You'll turn on ABC, NBC. You'll turn on, you know, what's the other one? Channel 32. And you will watch your favorite football team play. And you will make 5,000 times more noise right now. You will talk to a TV that cannot hear you as though that TV hears you. You will yell at an image on a screen. No, 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 not that way. This way. As if that guy can hear you. But yet you come into the house of God. You come into the house of prayer and set dumb and deaf like a bump on a pickle when you are in the presence of a God who does hear, a God who does see, a God who will answer, and we sit with our tongue tied. There's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. See, some of you just about got breakthrough. Some of you just about got, because you started to smile. You started to smile, but you stopped your breakthrough when you said, no, I'm not going to shout right now. No, I'm not going to throw my hand up right now. No, I'm not going to jump and shout. And see, something happens when you push yourself further than you've ever gone. That's what breakthrough is. Breakthrough is breaking past a certain point, and you've sat dumb long enough. Dumb, not in the sense intellectually dumb, but you know, dumb. Meaning mute. You've sat there long enough that way. And for breakthrough to come, you've got to go beyond that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Where is this passion that we've heard of? Why is the church so weak? When are we going to see the breakthroughs that you've promised, God? When are we going to? Listen, how many of you have ever had these feelings before? The prophet was speaking on behalf of the people. Listen to God's reply just a few verses later. This is so wonderful. You know, God is a God who believes in accountability. Everybody say accountability. Accountability. Listen what God's reply is to that request. Remember, the people said, awake, awake, arm of the Lord. Listen to God's reply. Awake, awake, Zion. Now see, that might not mean nothing to you, but once you realize who Zion is, it makes perfect sense. Once you realize that Zion is us, once you realize that Zion is the church, once you realize that there was Israel and then there's Zion. Israel was a nation. Israel was a chosen people. Israel was historically a place, yet a people group. But Zion is something different. It's the spiritual Israel. It's the engrafted Israel. It is the Gentiles who once were foreigners to the covenant of promise, but glory to God, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're no longer Gentile. They are Zion. They are a city on a hill. They are a light to the world. They are salt and light in the earth. It is us, friend. It is you and I. We are Zion. And God's reply to a people who declared, God, where are you? God, where is your power? Awake, God. We need your light in this earth. Awake, God. We need your power in this hour. God said, oh, no, 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 no. Awake, Zion. Awake, church. Awake, body of Christ. Rise up. Listen to what he says. Clothe yourself with strength. How many of you know strength has been given? We're Pentecostal here. That's why we shout so well. That's why I shout so much, because I'm Pentecostal. Rest of you Presbyterians are going to get Pentecostal. Oh, yeah. Some people pride themselves in being Pentecostal and they can't even lift their hands and shout out the name of Jesus in public. That ain't Pentecostal. Well, Pentecostal looks a certain way. You don't believe me? Read Acts chapter 2. Pentecostal looked a certain way. Pentecostal people are accused of being crazy. I'm crazy and I know it, right? Right? Oh, yeah. I'm crazy for Jesus. Paul said, I may be out of my mind, but at least now when I'm out of my mind, I'm out of my mind for Christ. God said, awake, awake Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor. The uncircumcised and the defiled will not enter you again. Listen to what God says. Shake off your dust. Woo! How many of you have objects at home that just sit on a shelf? They don't do nothing. They just sit there. What happens to objects that just sit there? They get dusty. But you know what I've noticed? Dust don't gather on a moving object, friend. Dust is not collected on somebody that has action. Dust never sets on something that is in constant motion. And see, if there's dust gathered or collected on the church, it's because the church is sitting around in the pews instead of out fulfilling the Great Commission. That was a good word right there. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem. The uncircumcised and the defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Somebody needs to do some of that right now. Shake off your dust, glory to God. Rise up enthroned, glory. Do you hear what God is saying? God is saying, look, shake off the dust. Rise up and take your place as the enthroned people. Free yourselves from the chains on your neck. Daughter of Zion, now a captive. Do you hear what he's saying? God is saying, look, the reason you are oppressed, the reason you are in captivity, the reason that you are experiencing the difficult stuff that you're experiencing as a whole, generally speaking, is a direct result of a loss of connection and a loss of focus to the God that we serve. Somebody say amen. It's directly connected to that. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion. Now a captive. You know, we don't have to be captive. We don't have to. Look up here at me. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be doubtful. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to be powerless. You don't have to be confused. You don't have to be discouraged. You can be encouraged. You can be strengthened. You can have all the hope that you can stand. You can be whole. You can be healed. You can be blessed. You can prosper in everything that you put your hand to. Do you know why? Because you are a child of God. You are anointed of God. You are called and you've got a purpose. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life, and he is more than able to bring about the good that he has. I'm going to tell a quick testimony about you, brother. Bob told me about a year and a half ago, Pastor, will you pray with me? I need a new truck. As long as I have known this man, the only thing that he has ever verbalized to me as a concern in his life, I want to be used of God. It's the only thing he's ever talked to me about. Pastor, I want God to use me. And I feel like God is calling me to this particular area of ministry. He's given me a vision, a very unique ministry, by the way, which some people would call work. But Bob calls it ministry because he's doing it under the Lord. Amen. See, some people think ministry is what I'm doing. Ministry is anything you do in the name of Jesus Christ to bring glory and honor to him, to build the kingdom. So technically speaking, everything we do is ministry, because the Bible says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. But he said, Pastor, in order for me to do what I believe God is calling me to do, I'm going to need some equipment. I don't have any. And I don't want to go out and get myself in a bunch of debt to do it. Will you pray with me and believe with me that God will provide? About a year and a half ago, called me a week or so ago. No, you didn't call me. I think I drove down the street and seen it in your driveway. Driving down the street and I pulled by Bob's house, and instead of seeing that old rusted up pickup truck, I saw a nice, shiny pickup truck. I said, wow. I pulled in the driveway. He said, yeah, God really blessed me. I said, I'd say so. How many of you know that's what God can do in our lives? Glory to God. Shake off your dust. Rise up, set enthroned. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion. You now are a captive, but you won't be very long if you believe that. Say amen. Amen. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money, you will be redeemed. Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourselves with strength. I want to say something to you. God is not the one sleeping. In fact, do you know what the Bible says about our God? Psalm, write this verse down. Psalm chapter 121. The Bible says, your God will never sleep and he never slumbers. His eyes never faint. God's not sleeping. It's the church that has fallen asleep. We've drifted from our mission. We have. We have forgotten our message. We've compromised the faith in so many areas. It makes me sickened to see what faith, what Christianity has become. It makes me sick to my stomach because we have walked away from the only thing that matters, and that's the life and power of God. Amen. The church has one foot in the world, trying to have one foot in the kingdom. You can go into most churches, not some churches, most churches, and not be able to tell the difference between it and the tavern up the road, other than the fact that they're not serving drinks at a bar. You know, I was... No, I'm not gonna. No, because it's just too much of me. But I'm saddened. You know, I was telling Don, my wife and I was invited to speak at a conference, at a convention a year or so ago. Christian, it was an organization it's a Christian organization, not Assembly of God. It was in a large convention area down in Burlington. We went down there, and of course, I'm prepared to speak, and you know, I'm a preacher, so what am I going to talk about? Right? God. And I figured that'd be okay since it's a Christian organization, and it was okay. Nobody told me I couldn't talk about God, but what happened, it really took me back. You know, it was a fundraising type thing, and at the Pizzazz Center, and I was waiting to get up there to speak. They were going through all their business stuff, you know, talking numbers and this, that, and all the other. I'm sitting here waiting to get up there and share my testimony and share what God has done in my life and how it has changed me and transformed me. And there's Bible verses up on the overhead in this big hall. And my wife and I, as we're sitting there, we keep noticing people getting up and walking out and coming back in with glasses that we just thought were drinks. They were drinks, all right. Before I spoke, a local Christian band, worship team, got up and played worship. And can I tell you that they were drinking alcohol? I'm not making this up, man. This is true. You ask my wife. If you think I'm being dishonest, you ask Kelly. Blew my mind. I did not know what to think about the situation. The church is drifting. You know, there's a lot of things we can argue about, but nobody in their right mind could ever be convince me anyway that there's not something wrong with that. Amen. There's something wrong with that. And when you address the something wrong and you become the outcast, then there's something really wrong. So when righteousness starts to stand up and then righteousness is now ostracized because it's righteous, there's something definitely wrong. And this is where we are as a people. And it's not government's fault. Listen, the reason this is happening is the church has fallen asleep. We are sitting around praying, God, move. And God is saying, why don't you knock the dust off yourself? Why don't you wake up? Why don't you stand up? You are the body of Christ. You have the life of God, the power of God, the promises of God. I have empowered you to do what you are whining about to me, and I'm not going to do what I've told you. How many of you know when you tell your kids to go clean up their room, and then they don't go up and clean up their rooms? How many of you would go up and clean it for them just because they didn't get it done? No. When I tell my daughter to go clean up her room, I expect it to get cleaned. And if it doesn't get cleaned, I'm not going to sneak up there and clean it so she don't get herself in trouble. And we seem to think that God's that kind of a father. That gives us an order, that gives us a mission, that gives us a directive. And just because we have failed to fulfill our mission, just because we have failed to take up our cross and follow him, we somehow seem to think that if we pray long enough, if we organize well enough, if we come together enough, that we can manipulate God to do what God has told us to do. Church, it's not going to work. Doesn't work that way. We love our lives too much. We care more about our stuff than we do his stuff. We want to be friends with everybody today. It really is strange how much the church is concerned about what other people think. Who cares? Who cares what other people think? Who cares what they say? I mean, really, who gives two rips? Or 2 cents, however you want to say it. I don't care anymore what the world says about me or this church or you or the assemblies of God. At some point, we have to choose that we are going to be who we have been called to be, regardless of if we make some enemies along the way. Understand this, not everybody liked Jesus. In fact, most religious people hated him. Psalm chapter 121, I already shared that verse with you. God does not sleep. We must start believing again, church. Yeah. Well, I believe. No, we really don't believe. And nothing's going to change until we really accept responsibility for our lack of faith. Yeah. We have to understand God is a God of accountability. Yes, we need to really start believing. Yeah. We need to have faith in God. Everybody say faith in God. Faith in the power of God. Everybody say faith in the power of God. Faith in God's ability. Everybody say faith in God's ability. You know, I want you to know, I thank God that we live in this country where we have the technology that we have. We have the best medical system on the planet. I was just on a missions trip in July over in the Marshall Islands, preached over there while we were there. We went to the local hospital on the capital of the nation's island. The capital of the nation's island. As soon as we walked into, I am telling you, I've never seen anything like this in my life at their hospital. By the way, it's a government-run medical system. Careful who you vote for. Some people want that here. It always gets quiet when you start talking about voting. Let me just say something to you. Do you understand that every single person in this place is going to give an account to God for who they voted for? Well, I'm a Democrat. My grandpappy was a Democrat. My daddy was a Democrat. I'm always going to vote Democrat. I'm a Republican. My mom was Republican. I'll always vote Republican. Boy, you need to go get your head checked out. If that's the way you think, you need to get your head checked out. Don't we have the Spirit of God inside of us? Isn't the Spirit of God supposed to lead us and guide us? Won't he tell us the truth and lead us in truth? Then friends, your loyalty needs to rest with him. Hallelujah. I was at this hospital. We stopped in to pray for some people. We walked into this ward. I am not kidding you. Before the double door swung open, you could smell infection. Oh my gosh, it was horrible. Horrible. We live in a nation where you don't see that. Much of what was causing people, Dan, you was with me. Much of what was causing people to lose parts of their body could have been prevented with just an antibiotic treatment. They were getting amputated. I thank God that I live in a country where when I'm not well, I can go to the doctor and be treated. But above all else, I thank God that he himself bore my griefs and carried my sorrows, and the chastisement that has brought me peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Friend, I want you to know something. It is great to have what we have in this country, but let's not forget who we have on the inside, the Most High God, the God who has conquered all, the God who has overcome all things, the God who will never leave and never forsake, the God who will never abandon us, the God who defeated death, hell, and the grave, and is alive forevermore. We have him, hallelujah. Faith in his ability. Some people would say when the doctor tells them there's nothing else I can do, well, that's pretty depressing. No, no, that's just an opportunity for God to show off. See, we need a paradigm shift. Somebody says, that's easy for you to say, preacher. You've never had the doctor tell you that. We must start believing again. Faith in his love for us. Faith and prayer. Hallelujah. Holy smoke, literally. That's what prayer leads to, holy smoke. And by the way, Hope mentioned to me that the movie War Room is playing tonight in New Sharon. Is that correct, New Sharon? 2:00, $3 to go in. I want you to know, if you want to be inspired to pray, go watch the movie. We took a group from our church there a couple weeks ago. Excellent. I give it an A++++ rating. Very, very good movie. It would really do you well to watch that movie. But we need a revival of faith in prayer. You know, your hope, listen to me. More people right now have more hope in Donald Trump than they have in prayer. Ah, he's the talk of the town. You think so too? Everywhere you go, oh man, let's just hope Trump gets in. How about this? How about we just hope the body of Christ actually starts praying? How about we just hope the body of Christ wakes up from its slumber and gets on their knees and lifts up their hands to God and puts into practice what he told us to do in the word? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. The body of Christ is too stinking prideful anymore to get down on their knees and say, God, we can't solve our problems. God, it was our best efforts that got us in this mess. But we believe that you are merciful. We believe that you are mighty. We believe that you are an everlasting God with everlasting love. And we believe you can do it. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will come and heal their land. That is the word of God. The Bible says every word, heaven and earth will pass away, but every word of God will stand enduring test in time. Faith and prayer. Faith in the Holy Spirit. Let's stand up on our feet and lift up our hands. I know you might be wondering, what does any of this have to do with missions? It's got everything to do with missions. We will never accomplish missions until we first realize who we are. See, we need to realize who we are before we will ever fulfill the Great Commission. As I told you before, dust is from a lack of activity. It's time to preach the word. It's time to heal the sick. It's time to declare war on Satan. Look up here at me. It's been too long that we've sat around being a bunch of passive weaklings. We are warriors. We are in an army. Huh? God has called us to battle. No, you and I, friend. I mean, you say, I've never wielded a sword in my life. I've never even shot a gun. I don't even like gun. I think we need to increase. Listen, you are a warrior. You have been armed. You're armed and dangerous. Come back tonight. I'm going to be preaching at our joint church rally. Power Encounter Night tonight, I'm going to be preaching on the weapons of our warfare, weapons of mass destruction. I'm telling you, God has armed the body of Christ to annihilate the forces of darkness. It's time for you and I to step up and bear fruit, to engage in ministry. If we're ever going to fulfill the Great Commission, this is what we have to remember. We've got to remember who we are. We are the body of Christ. What does that mean? How many of you know this is my body? And inside of this body is the real me, Richard. Because I'm a spirit. And I have a body that possesses a soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions. But what you see is just a shell. The shell's going to drop to the ground one day, but the real me is going to live forever. Do you understand? We are the body of Christ. And it's not going to be that much longer before the body of Christ is raptured, taken away. We are the body of Christ. The life of Christ, power of Christ lives inside of us. We must remember that we are children of God. We are a royal priesthood. You are royalty. Glory to God. Doesn't mean much to people coming from a democracy, but if you come from a place where you have a king, you understand what is a benefit of being royalty, because when you're royalty, you have everything that the kingdom has to offer. There's nothing that the kingdom can withhold from the king or royalty of the king. We are a royal priesthood. We are more than conquerors. We are mighty warriors. We are seated in victory. We have power over Satan. We have power over sickness. We have divine power. And bless God, we have a divine purpose. That purpose? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, again, I want to stress to you, doesn't say, and these signs will follow those who call themselves Pentecostal. These signs will follow those who wear a tie on Sunday. These signs will follow those who never drink and never smoke. No, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poisons, it will not hurt them at all. They will lay hands on sick people, and they will see sick people get well. This is our mission. This is our mission, but it'll never be fulfilled until we first realize who we are. Who we are. Bow your heads if you would, please. Lift up your hands. Oh, friend, we need a revelation so desperately in this hour. A revelation. Think with me for a moment. What happened in times of old when men and women had a revelation from God? It changed them, and the transformation inside of them led to a transformation among whole people groups. Isaiah had a close encounter. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He heard the angels crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." Oh, glory to God. And it changed his life. He cried out, "God, here am I, send me." But it all started with him first realizing who God was. With every person's hands raised in this place today, pray this prayer from the bottom of your heart. Lord Jesus, I want a revelation of who you are. Forgive me for blaming you for the direction we have gone. I accept full responsibility. I've gotten distracted. I've gotten confused. But I'm back on course. I'm fixing my eyes on you. And I ask right now, as I fix my eyes on you, that you would open my eyes, that I might see who you are, so that I can be who you have caused me to be. Just like you, in every respect. I want to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Well, do me a favor, guys. Even if you don't come out on Sunday nights, would you come back tonight? It's going to be a great time. I want to invite you. By the way, we are hosting this event at our church. We're hosting this power encounter. So let's make sure that we have a lot of people from the host church here tonight. 6 o'clock, we'll be here. It's going to be a great evening. It's going to be powerful. I promise you, if you come, you will leave encouraged and you will leave empowered. We look forward to seeing you then. Till then, God bless you, and remember, Jesus is Lord.